It's a great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Phil Steele. We always have Phil Steele on about this time of year because college football is right around the corner. And there's none better than Phil Steele, ESPN College Football Insider. Where is it? It's over here. Eric, because Eric's a nice guy. I walk in today, and this is sitting here in my broadcast position by Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Eric Sorensen. This is like, I don't know, it's, let's see, that's page 310. This is all college football. Like, when I go somewhere, and hopefully it's the beach here in the next couple of weeks, and I take this, and I go get Sessie's World Tacos in Carlsbad, and I'm laying there after catching waves and getting thrashed on, and I open this up, and there'll be sand and taco sauce on it, and I'll come back, and I'll just be ready. So excited. After tomorrow's show, we're going to take a break, as we always do every summer for a few weeks. We'll have best ofs here, and well, if there's something that we deem major, we'll pop up and do something, but we'll take a break and then get back with you live every day here in a couple weeks. We'll have plenty of best of stuff. Yesterday, Nick Foles was so good. So good. If you missed the interview with the Super Bowl MVP, that will be something you can check out later. Also on today's show, up J.J. Rimes on Talk to the Lopes. Every Wednesday, we talk Grand Canyon University sports. We focus in our partnership with GCU, and this week it's J.J. Rimes. The Rimes name is one of the best in basketball. If you're talking basketball, the Rimes name would have to be there with the Barcelo name. Barcelo, Rimes, Barcelo. I'm sure I'm opening up a huge can of worms right now that's going to get me in trouble with people, and I should not go down this path, but I will go down. The house name, now that Jalen is here, although Eddie, now that Jalen's getting it done, it's going to be the next one. The Bibby name, of course, with Henry and then Mike and doing his thing, and so there you go. We'll have J.J. Rimes with us. That's coming up on the show as well. Spoke to some agents on some NBA stuff. I am more engaged and interested in the Suns now because for the last, I don't know, 3 years, it's just been a total joke. And it's been 8 years of no playoffs. You guys that watch the show every day, you know that I've been making fun of them on that front. It's probably time to turn the page. And because I think now it's the from DeAndre Ayton moving forward, from trying hard to lose and moving forward, were you able to do anything? Occasionally, I'll probably bring it up, but yesterday I left here after doing the show and went to a screening for Ant-Man. So Ant-Man is coming out. Goody and I are going to talk about it tomorrow. It's with Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer, and it's going to do gobs of business, and many of you are going to want to go because it's going to come out not this week, but next week. It's Marvel. Everything Marvel is huge. This is not huge. This is very smart and very funny. So I was into that, watched some of the Diamondbacks. I watched some of Oregon State and Arkansas last night. Arkansas won. If they win tonight, it's over. And I kept going back to Luke Heimlich and him being out with Oregon State and how that impacts Pat Casey and his legacy. Some of the opening thoughts brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. You need to do that with life insurance. When was the last time, guys, you just sat down and did a deep dive into your personal situation? If something were to happen to you today, where would everything go and would everybody be taken care of? Log on, get your free quote right now at Sagicor Now. That is Sagicor. We appreciate their support. Phil Steele, 1035. All right, so this morning I watched, I got up early and watched Andres Cantor call and listen to him do the World Cup, Mexico against Sweden. Mexico was awful this morning. Soccer announcers, as our country has gotten more and more sophisticated, in my view, when it comes to soccer, it used to be the smart astronaut would say, soccer, it's boring, who cares, this sport does nothing for me. And then as years have passed and youth groups have grown and the World Cup has come here, the women have had success, the men can't even figure out how to qualify. It's another story for another day. The color and the flair around the World Cup and hearing Andres Cantor do the play-by-play, like in football, our sport here in the country of many people's choice, it's Al Michaels, it's Joe Buck, it's Jim Nantz, and they all have a very stoic, straightforward. Buck tries to work his humor in there. Nantz is very stated, has done his thing through the years. Same with Al Michaels. Al sounds like he and Chris Collinsworth are just having a good old time. When you hear Andres Cantor do the World Cup, clearly, A, he's rooting for Mexico, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. His sense of humor as he's broadcasting is very funny. He rips on players directly, not indirectly, not hinting, not innuendo. And so it's very enjoyable to watch him. And with Mexico just being flat awful today, they are going to move on, though, because Germany was even worse. Germany is out. See you later. They got shut out by South Korea. And so Mexico will move on, even though they had one of their just worst showings I've seen in a long, long time. And that happened in the World Cup. Watched a lot of that this morning. The Diamondbacks. So yesterday on the show, we brought up some of the conversation that I'm hearing on the owner's side of the team. If you missed yesterday's show, I'm going to write about this coming weekend, go a little deeper. There's conversation about the future of the team in this regard when it involves Paul Goldschmidt and a player named Manny Machado. And I just have to say a player, you guys know this, best shortstop in the American League, and is going to end up going to the All-Star game again, three-time All-Star. Manny Machado did not run out of a double play ball last night very hard and was booed by his hometown fans in Baltimore. They have the worst record. Buck Showalter said he was going to talk to Machado and get his side of the story. His quote was, maybe he slipped coming out of the box or something. Okay, manager trying to protect his star player. I like that. But the tie-in with the Diamondbacks is, as they're debating whether or not to go get Machado, the bigger conversation from some of the owner's side that I've spoken to is, what do you do when it comes to Machado versus Paul Goldschmidt and keeping one or the other? Because you're not going to be able to keep both. And are you just expecting and accepting that if you go get Machado, it once again is another rental player like you did with J.D. Martinez last season? J.D. is killing it in Boston. He's going to be in the All-Star game. He's having a great run. The Diamondbacks, from my point of view, just less than a year after that trade, did not give up an awful lot in order to get him. Would they have to give up more in order to get Manny Machado? The Diamondbacks won again last night, and bringing this all together, they're going to turn into July in all likelihood having the lead in the division. By the time we get through the Giants series, they're going to be in the lead in the division. A year ago at this time, they were also in the lead in the division. And about a year ago to next week, when they played the Dodgers, is when everything totally fell apart and the team crapped the bed and they couldn't pull themselves out and the Dodgers boat raced them. Mike Hazen has a really interesting decision, but I think, moreover, the ownership has an interesting decision, because if you get Machado, what message are you sending to Goldschmidt? You are saying, we are here to win. We want to surround you, Paul, with the best players, but it's another year closer to free agency and not addressing the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is Paul's contract. And they can't afford both. If you bring Machado in here and your intention is to keep him long term, I think essentially you're saying, Paul, it's been a nice run. This is business. We have to get something for you before you just walk away. I'd be in favor of that if it were a player that played hard all the time. I don't know. I've never once questioned Paul Goldschmidt. I'd love to see Paul Goldschmidt start and retire as a Diamondback, but I also have to believe if you want to compete in the National League, in a year where, look, it's wide open. It's not like you can look at any one team, even the Dodgers, because of all the injuries. It's not like you can look at the Dodgers and say, this thing is theirs and nobody else's. And that's not the case at all. So a very interesting decision as to what happens here in the next 20, 30 days. If Machado goes to the Dodgers, or he goes to the Giants, or he goes within the division, there's even been conversation of the Padres getting involved in the Manny Machado sweepstakes, trying to sign him and build for long term. San Diego's actually hung in there somewhat. They're almost double-digit games back, but they've been hanging around at 4, 5, 6. They've gone through a slow skid here. They start to look towards next season. To finish the bow and thought on the Diamondbacks, Robbie Ray is going to pitch tonight. So they get another one of their big guns back. They get him at a game where, again, there's nobody in the stands. Last night, I watched some of that on FS1. When you can hear fans chatting and chirping and you can hear the beer guy, it's no different than going to a Suns game for these last several years where you can hear the shoes squeak on the floor as people are, you know, the players are playing. That's what it was last night. It was just embarrassing how small the crowd is there. But Robbie Ray throws tonight. I thought last night, little things. It's little things like Jake Lamb's got a little six-game hitting streak. Jake Lamb's not been great so far this season, but he's finally starting to string some things together. John Ryan Murphy had three RBI last night. John Ryan Murphy was the guy that, well, maybe it's going to be Jeff Mathis that catches for us. Alex Avila has not done much. And Zach Godley, as much as I get uncomfortable watching him pitch, it's four straight starts that he's gone out and he's gotten it done. Of course, everybody wants to talk about Archie Bradley pooping his pants. True story. I'll get into that later on in the show in our final segment. Up next, there's some names around the Suns in the agent world this morning that I spoke to that said you better keep an eye on these. And also they weighed in on Kawhi and LeBron James deal. I feel real good about this next segment. It'll be a meat sandwich. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So in this segment, I want to do a real big deep dive, meat sandwich type of thing on the NBA and free agency, which starts next week. And really the summer around trades, some around the Suns, some around some things that happened yesterday and are about to happen in the NBA. I think the biggest bombshell of all of everything that is brewing is what Magic Johnson said yesterday out in Los Angeles. And I do think it involves the Suns somewhat here, and here's how. So Magic Johnson yesterday said, if I don't get it done in free agency by next summer, then I shouldn't be here. And he said he'll quit, meaning Jeannie Buss, you don't need to fire me. And how this impacts the Suns is from every corner, it has been presumed that Magic is going to go get Paul George and LeBron James. It's been presumed even on social media that LeBron James's kid, who's 13, his eighth grader, is already looking to be enrolled at Sierra Canyon, the same place that Marvin Bagley went to. For Magic to say, if I don't get it done, to me seemed very out of context for him. That's just not who he is. I covered him before I came to Phoenix. I was there during Showtime, did all that stuff. And that guy has never been one to say, I don't know if I can get it done or not. And for him to lay it out there, was that kind of a preemptive strike of, I may not get these guys. But we've all presumed that the Lakers were going to go out and get LeBron and go get George. And that way they could try to compete with Golden State. Clearly they would zoom right past where the Suns are in terms of their growth and their development. The other, and this involves the Western Conference even more so. So then it involves Kawhi Leonard. And this again is from the agent point of view. I talked to a couple, three this today on this deal. And that is, so San Antonio is trying to figure out how to mend fences with Kawhi Leonard. How do you go about doing something that has never happened within your organization before? The Spurs have been bulletproof to having controversy when it comes to players and their posse or their circle or whatever term you want to use. If you look at San Antonio and guys like Sean Elliott and David Robinson and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan, there's never, I am not happy, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be part of this culture. And there's Greg Popovich at 70 years of age, just lost his wife, who's having to deal with all this stuff. Is San Antonio better served to hold on to Kawhi Leonard rather than move him as everybody's thinking they should? They're better off holding on to him for the start of the season, and they could get themselves a king's ransom at the end of next January, early February, when the trade deadline rolls around. To me, that seems like the more logical play. So you have Kawhi in play, you have LeBron that's in play, different reasons, different ways you've got to go about getting them. You had Cleveland on draft night saying they want to get into the development of player business. That's a quote from the Cavaliers. Development of player business. I don't think that's what LeBron James is in the league to do. I am not here to develop players. I'm here to win championships, and that's about it. So to think that he's going back to Cleveland, to me, that seems like a real long shot. For Magic to say, well, you know, if I can't get it done, and people are presuming it's the Lakers or him staying in Cleveland, so where does that put a team like Philadelphia? Could we be sitting here next week looking at LeBron James going to Philadelphia and surrounding himself with that team? Am I to believe for a moment that the wolf in the hen house, Danny Ainge, hasn't thought some way, somehow, of I'll get LeBron to come here to Boston, even though nobody's talking about it? There's all sorts of avenues that you can go on this. How it pertains to the Suns is the Western Conference is going through a bit of a shift. Let's just say Kawhi Leonard, they can't work it out. They do decide to trade him, or they've got to hang on to him until the first part of next year. Suddenly, there's one of the longtime powers that is starting to take a step back. Doesn't mean San Antonio is going to disappear off the face of the planet. It's too good of an organization. But I do believe in this day and age of building super teams with super places to be noticed, they're going to want to go to bigger media markets than going to San Antonio. Times are changing. I don't believe the Suns can get involved with Kawhi. I don't see any chance that they can get involved with LeBron James. But from the agent point of view, these agents today, there's three guys that the names keep coming back to keep an eye on and involves the Suns. And those three are Zach LaVine, Julius Randle, and Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's name I've heard out there before. He's been a very valuable asset to the Celtics. When you look at what the Suns need, they need a four, they need a point guard. These players, there's guys on their rosters that could be moved out, these players that could be brought in. Guy like Marcus Smart, you stick him on the Suns, all of a sudden I think he makes them a bit better in terms of veteran leadership and someone who's had a good run in Boston. I would like, Eric, would you take Marcus Smart here?
Oh, yeah. The Suns need a tough guy, too. They've got a bunch of nice guys. They need a couple tough guys.
Right?
Yeah, and Marcus Smart fits that description to a T.
Now, what would Marcus Smart get out of coming to Phoenix? Obviously, he's not closer. He's taking a huge step back to win a championship. But where will the decimal point on the check fall?
Yeah, I don't know what his thought process is. I just know that he's a good player, and he would be a good fit here, and he doesn't have to be a guy that scores because the Suns have plenty of guys that can score, but they don't have a bunch of dirt workers, and he is a dirt worker. He is an instigator. He is an aggravator. He will guard the other player's best team or the other team's best player, and I just
guard.
Think,
yeah, guard.
And I just think he'd be a really good fit.
He's Danny Ainge 2.0.
A little bit.
You know, you just
not
you
nearly
hate
as
him.
Good. Not nearly as good of a shooter as Danny.
No, but he's. You hate him when he's not on your team. You love him when he's on your team, right?
Yep.
He's one of those guys.
Rajah Bell.
Yeah, Rajah Bell. There's a good one. Okay, so Julius Randle. Julius Randle, again, here's a situation where, look, if the Lakers are the team that's got to trade Kuzma and Ingram to get Kawhi Leonard, do the Lakers look at what they've got with Julius Randle and say, you know, we got to figure out a way to keep him here? Is Julius Randle a guy that comes to the Suns? You put him on this team. He already has a couple years' experience within the league. Again, this is from the agent perspective. Brad, you better keep an eye on what Julius Randle's going to do. We're hearing Phoenix is a name, a spot, a possible destination. And a lot of that has to do with cap space. A lot of that has to do with the flexibility that Ryan McDonough has talked about. Julius Randle, to me, is not going to be the game changer. He's not going to be the guy that... If I had to take one of those two, I'd take Marcus Smart over getting Julius Randle here. I think the Suns could do better than that.
And the Suns just need to be smart, Brad. They need to – let's not have any Josh Childress.
You mean they've been smart in the past?
No Josh Childress signings. No Hedo Turkoglu signings. Please be smart with your money. Don't sign guys just for the mere sake of signing guys. They don't need any more wings. Please don't sign any more wings.
Matt Barnes is here. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be great. We're excited.
We are excited. That's the beauty of it.
We have Michael Beasley here.
But no,
Michael
Beasley
is going to be great for us.
There is a level of excitement around the Suns, and that's a really nice breath of fresh air, considering what we've gone through the last 8 years.
Well, I'm kind of sensing you want to keep me on track on this narrative of the Suns are getting good again. What if I don't believe you?
I don't know if they're getting good.
You're excited every day.
But I know there's intrigue, and there's no longer apathy. I don't expect the Suns to make the playoffs next year.
Are they going
to
sell out their home game, their home opener?
But if they're fun to watch, but if they're fun to watch and there's an actual real blueprint in place, then that's something that we should be excited about. Right. Not just a bunch of miscast players and five point guards on a team and just all the mess that we've seen
Elfrid
in the past.
Elfrid Payton is going to be our point guard of the future. He's really good. Got it.
No.
Zach LaVine. Okay. So Zach LaVine's the other one. That's another name that is out there around that the Suns are looking at and considering and saying, you know, can we get involved with Zach LaVine? Zach LaVine, Julius Randle, and Marcus Smart. Those are the three. All right. And I think in Zach LaVine's case, you're talking about a player that obviously can jump really high, dunk really hard. Okay. Get some people excited in that regard. But is that, again, is that somebody that I look at and say is going to be the game changer for the Suns? They can make a case on all three of these guys, Eric, to your point, where it's not just adding a body. I think of the three, again, if I had to rank the three, I'd want Marcus Smart, Zach LaVine, Julius Randle in that order. It doesn't mean Julius Randle's a bad player. It's just I think you can go a different direction on that one. So free agency starts on Sunday. And let's not forget that business happens over the 4th of July. Many of you are going to be out and checked out. It's fine. We'll have plenty of content up on the website as this stuff unfolds and breaks. Steve Nash was traded on the 4th of July to the Lakers. People forget about that. So business does happen even during holidays for everybody else. All right. So on the other side, Meat Sandwich, again, part two. Phil Steele's College Football Magazine is out. We'll get into it with Phil about Arizona and Arizona State, the Pac-12. And is it going to be Clemson, Alabama all over again? None better than Phil Steele. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. So every year we have Phil Steele come on the show, and every year it feels like it's Christmas Day for college football fans because Phil Steele's College Football Preview 2018 is now out. Those of us here in Arizona where it's 115 degrees and we're heading to San Diego to lay on the beach, we stop by a bookstore or we order it and we can lay there in Carlsbad where it's 70 and just read it from start to finish with some tacos and some waves. That's what college football is all about here in Arizona. Phil joins us on the opening day of the release of the magazine. And off the top, I appreciate you coming on board as always. Secondarily, Phil, are we looking at Clemson, Alabama again this year?
Hey, Brad, always good being on with you again, my friend. And yeah, I think we are. And I thought it would be a little bit different with the Clemson thing because when the regular season ended last year, I thought they were going to lose all four starting defensive linemen. I thought they'd all leave early to the NFL. They all had first, second, or third round grades, and then one by one, each one opted to return this year. So all four starters back on the D-line for Clemson. That really gives them the best defensive line in college football, maybe the best defense overall in college football, and they've got a veteran quarterback, the number 18 rated offensive line, and they'll be favored in all 12 games. And with Bama, yeah, not really going out on a limb here. I'm taking Alabama to make the playoffs. And when I look at Alabama, they're normally number 100 or number 110 on my experience chart because they lose so much to graduation. But this year they come in at number 50. They've got a couple of capable quarterbacks in Tua Tagovailoa as well as Jalen Hurts. Each of their defensive units have ranked in my top 10, and they're actually going to be a double-digit favorite in every single game this year. So while Saban hasn't had very many undefeated seasons, he has a great shot at getting there this year.
Phil Steele's College Football 2018 preview is out. Let's focus on Arizona State and Arizona for a couple of minutes with Phil Steele. All right, so the Sun Devils have Herm Edwards. The Wildcats have Kevin Sumlin. Nationally, I think they're both off the radar. In state, I think there's a huge, what was Arizona State thinking and what a great hire by U of A. I'll turn it over to you, Phil, the magazine. How do you break down first Arizona State and Herm Edwards?
Well, with Arizona State, you know, the thing we're looking at there is the big question, how's the head coaching thing going to translate out? Now, I think with Rob Likens as the offensive coordinator, they're still going to be in pretty good shape. It's his third year here overall. He's been in the system, so it's not like he has to learn the players' strengths and weaknesses or anything like that. And he's got some pieces to work with. Manny Wilkins at the quarterback position, while they lose their outstanding running back combo of Richard and Balazs, they've got Enzo Benjamin back, as well as N'Keal Henry, a dangerous game-breaking receiver. Offensive-wise, the biggest question mark, but I think they bring in some grad transfers to bring to smooth that out. Defensively, I like to hire Danny Gonzalez. Comes over from San Diego State. San Diego State's had some excellent defenses. They've got Karan Crump, Chase Lucas back on the defensive side of the ball. Should be pretty solid. Overall, Arizona State comes in number 40 on my experience chart, which isn't too bad. The offensive line, receiving core, quarterbacks, and DBs all rank in my top units. And this Arizona State team, I think, is going to have to fight just to get to a bowl game this year. I'm not looking at them as a true contender in the Pac-12 South.
You talk about N'Keal Harry. If you could go a little bit deeper on him, and also with the combination of Manny Wilkins, a guy that I've been told on the Arizona State end has never really won us a game, has never really lost us a game, and N'Keal Harry being viewed as one of the top wide receivers in this year's class collegiately. It's a pretty dangerous combination there on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Wilkins, you're looking at a guy that is a leader. He really took command of the team this spring, and he will do it over the summer as well. And he's a guy that's becoming a more comfortable pocket passer as it goes on. He originally, I think when he came up, was more comfortable on the run, but now he's comfortable in the pocket. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. And then with Harry, when I talked to offense coordinator Rob Likens this spring, he said he's just scratching the surface. Every day he gets better, and he's one of those game day players. He was limited a little bit in the spring, but he will go up and get almost all of those 50-50 balls at 6'4", 216. He takes a 50-50 ball and turns it into a 90-10 ball.
That's good stuff there. All right, in Tucson, you have a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback. You have a coach who comes in. I was there at their spring game. He walked out of the tunnel, and there were maybe 3,000 fans in the stands. And I'm thinking, it's a little different than where he was at a College Station. What is Kevin Sumlin getting into outside of he has a very talented quarterback?
Yeah, a lot less pressure here at Arizona. But I think the competitive fire clearly burns in Coach Sumlin, and going over the team with him this spring. He's not displeased with the talent he's inherited here. You know, having a guy like Khalil Tate, a quarterback, is always a big thing. Now, Tate's performance appeared to go down a little bit towards the end of the year, especially in the last three games once teams had tape on him. But he's a guy that has a lot of upside. He's dynamic. He's coachable. And he wants to be the best player out there. And we saw last year what type of talent he could be. He was the most dynamic player in college football during the month of October last year. He's got good receivers to throw to, like Sean Brown, Sean Poindexter, good running backs, offensive line. A little bit of a question mark with just two starters back. And defensively, they're solid at the linebacking core. Tony Fields, Colin Shuler, probably their top two linebackers. The DBs are ranked number 31 in the country. So there is a good amount of talent on this Arizona team. And the Pac-12 South is wide open. USC, Utah, Arizona, I think, are your prime three contenders. If Tate plays like he did last October, you'd have to put Arizona as clearly one of the favorites to get there. That's going to be our big question mark this year.
Talking college football with Phil Steele. Phil Steele's College Football Magazine is out for 2017, the preview. Make sure you pick up a copy of it. I'm going to throw a couple names at you from players within our state that have grown up, matured, and have gone on and have done very well for themselves. And if you've got something great, if you don't, I'm fine with that. But Brian Lewerke at Michigan State, Phil, the quarterback, when he was here in the Valley, I think people felt as though he's going to be very good. I don't know if they anticipated him going to East Lansing and doing what he's done there. Talk a little bit about Lewerke and what he's got at Michigan State. They come here to play the Sun Devils in September.
Yeah, and he had a remarkable season last year, remarkably unexpected. I mean, when Lewerke was there in 15 and 16, he was just basically a backup quarterback, did get in a couple of starts in 16. But last year, when given the starting quarterback position, inheriting a team that had been just 3-9 the previous year, he got him to 10 wins. He's a dual threat QB. I mean, he ran for 559 yards last year, and he also is adept at throwing the football with 20 touchdown passes, just 7 interceptions. That was in his first full year as a starter. Mm. Worked hard in the offseason. I would expect the ratio to get better. I would expect the 59% completions to get better. And then, as mentioned, he's a dangerous runner. So if he brings a complete package, I think they're not going to curtail the running this year with Rocky Lombardi as a capable backup quarterback. And I look for big things from Lewerke this year.
Okay, Byron Murphy went to Washington, player of the year here in Arizona. He's played in their secondary, got hurt some last season. Washington has made a habit now of coming into Arizona and taking the top recruits, it feels like, year after year. You got a thought on the Huskies' leader in the secondary in Byron Murphy?
Yeah, you know, you look at him on the sidelines, he's 5'11", 184. He doesn't have that big cornerback size that you want. But he makes plays, he makes big plays despite his smaller stature, and he's got a great knack for reading routes. So I think that's probably his biggest niche, is that this guy knows how to dissect an offense, clearly studies the film. Last year, 3 interceptions, 7 PBUs, and that was in just 6 starts. He started the first 3, then he was out 7 games with a broken foot, then he came back the last 3. It's going to be really great to see what he can do with a full season of starting experience under his belt.
Before I let you go, we're with Phil Steele. Again, he's got all the info. You hear it there. The 2018 college football preview is out. What are your Pac-12 takeaways, Phil, before we let you go as we come into the start of the 18 season? What are the big storylines to you to watch?
Well, first of all, there's going to be more bowl wins this year. How's that sound? Last year, just one. And,
yeah.
And I think nationally, when folks look at the Pac-12 and think Pac-12, that's what they're thinking right off the bat. And I do think it'll be a better year. My opinion is that in the South, my just the cursory takeaway is that it is a wide-open South. USC, Utah, Arizona, the top 3 front runners, but wouldn't surprise me to see anybody else get in the mix. So I think the South is open for the taking, and if you're going to get USC, this would be a good year to do it. USC plays a better schedule than does Utah, however. Utah plays the top 3 teams out of the North. USC gets to avoid 2 of them. And the North, to me, is the stronger division. Washington, Stanford, and then my sleeper up there, which is Oregon. Talking to Coach Cristobal this year, they've got good talent. Remember last year, Justin Herbert's a guy that they averaged 52 points per game with him at quarterback, 15 without him. Well, he's back. Oregon gets both Stanford and Washington at home. So I think Oregon could be a dangerous team there, but I went with Washington. I think it's Chris Peterson's best team he's put on the field. 17 returning starters this year. And remember, Jake Browning 2 years ago had 43 touchdown passes, just 19 last year. They get that big game against Stanford at home, and never discount Stanford. Talking to Coach David Shaw, he really likes the talent they bring back. They're going to be a threat as well. To me, the strength of the Pac-12 is the North.
Good stuff as always, Phil. Appreciate the time and the visit. Thanks.
Hey, always great talking football with you, Brad.
Take care. There's Phil Steele. Phil Steele's college football 2018 preview out on newsstands. Sports360AZ.com. Don't forget our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat Football AZ. It goes year-round. Football never sleeps. Back after this timeout. So there's a story today that's really disturbing. There's actually 2 of them. One is disturbing in a funny sort of way, and that's Archie Bradley admitting that he soiled himself, pooped his pants when he was out on the baseball diamond for the Diamondbacks. Archie's having fun with this. He just was interacting with a guy that put up on Twitter something about Archie on the mound and a toilet seat behind him, and Archie put hashtag BYOTB, bring your own toilet paper, TP rather. So Archie's having fun with this. Eric and I could have fun. I could sit here and just joke and laugh and ha-ha, and I have when I read the story about, of course it's Archie Bradley. Of course it's Mike Fetter saying, hey, you're in the game. Of course he's just taking a leak, and he runs out, and all of a sudden, boom, oh, no, what do I do? I mean, that's funny to me. It's part of sport. The other story is not funny, and that is the case of Washington State quarterback Tyler Helinski, who took his life back in January, put a gun to his head and pulled the triggers, quarterback at Wazoo. So since that case has come and the post side of this story is now starting to unfold, the Washington State quarterback had signs of CTE, according to the Seattle Times. This when he took his own life in January. This revelation doesn't provide many answers. It prompts a lot of questions, though. So CTE, if you don't know, it is the degeneration of the brain. We've done a lot here on concussions. I don't like having guys in here, and some of them don't come in anymore because they're so jacked up from the concussion stuff in football. Brett Favre just said recently that Pop Warner should be outlawed. Having kids run into one another head-to-head shouldn't happen. I'm kind of sitting there in my own space with a 13-year-old who's huge. And he's interested in playing football, and I'm still of the mindset of you might just want to sit on the side and keep playing water polo and keep doing wrestling and doing basketball, and if football presents itself, fine. But if not, we're good with that too. Tyler Helinski played nothing but quarterback from high school on. He played linebacker, though, in junior high school. He didn't play for very long. Helinski's parents said that Helinski told his older brother about a hit that rocked him during Washington State's game against Arizona last season. The parents said that they started to notice changes in Helinski's behavior after that game. But if you look at CTE and how it's progressed, I have yet to hear a story that has come out that has said it was just this one hit that turned everything upside down for this person. It doesn't matter if it's girls soccer. I know it's been brought up a lot about the concussions in girls soccer, boys soccer, and football. I think that's the football people trying to do damage control. You know, I'll run into the people that get checks that are involved with football. It doesn't matter if it's youth or pro, or even college. And it's kind of like, you know, the concussion thing, it's overblown. It's, no, it's not. No, it's not. So when the signs of his brain show their CTE, the problem with that is you can't just open up somebody's brain and say, look, this thing's really bad right now that's going on inside your brain. Can't do that. There are signals. There are signs. Subconcussive hits are what makes this happen. So this story at Washington State is going to be one that I look at a little bit closer, kind of tilt my head, because if all he's done is played quarterback, not say quarterbacks don't take hits, and not say that I haven't dealt with some quarterbacks that have been a little messed up and jacked up. But if they're looking at this saying that there wasn't any previous sign, was it just this one hit? And then how's the school going to come out on all this? For the parents to now be told, yeah, he had CTE while he was playing. You know, like the medical field and some insurance people are going to say, this is kind of interesting. The story is just kind of mushrooming. It's great to talk about stuff on the field and all that, but this is part of it too. This is the real side of what's going on in sports. Edwin Rodriguez is our chairman of the board. Edwin did a great job today, as always. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of everything. If you just missed part of the show, it repeats right here on sports360az.com. Of course, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 times per week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. We appreciate the partnership with FSAZ. And as always, we appreciate our partners. These commercials that you see, they're partners with us. They believe in what we are doing. We are self-funded. Without them, we're not doing it. So we appreciate their support, too. Have yourself a great day. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week, we talk Grand Canyon University Athletics year-round. Appreciate the partnership with GCU. This week on Talk to the Lopes, we focus in on the men's basketball program. A great name, the Rhymes name. I've been here 25-plus years, and there always seems to be either a Rhymes on the sideline or on the basketball court getting it done. And in this case, I saw J.J. Rhymes. Eric saw J.J. Rhymes. We saw him get it done over at Shadow. And then he went to Hutchinson, which is, if you're going to go the JUCO route, which I'm a big believer in, I'm a junior college guy myself. I think going JUCO is smart. You go to Hutch, you're going to go play against big-time talent. J.J. did that, and now he is a member of Grand Canyon University with Dan Marley. J.J. Rhymes coming home after winning a couple of championships there at Hutchinson CC. Appreciate you coming on Talk to the Lopes. J.J., how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great. Excited to have you come on here because there's a lot to get to. Your journey, if I told you you're winning state titles with Mike Bibby, that you're going to end up having to go to Hutchinson, Kansas, and then you're going to come back to Grand Canyon University. And if we'd had this conversation around your senior year in high school, would you believe that this would be your journey and your path?
Nah, I would have laughed at you.
I would have. Now we can laugh together.
Like, what are you? Right. Now we can laugh together where I'm now. But I mean, it wasn't. I mean, obviously, it wasn't my plan. It was more likely of God's plan. You know what I mean? And took me the right route. And now I feel like He put me in the right place in the right position at Grand Canyon. So
okay, let's back up. Good. Let's back up then and go from the decision when you were at Shadow winning state titles to go the JUCO route. Some people would say, you know it, I know it, why go the junior college route initially rather than go Division I?
Okay, well, I mean, I went to JUCO route for one reason. That was my academics. I feel like I didn't bear down more my freshman and sophomore year. And then when I realized I really had a chance, an opportunity to do this. And, you know, it's crazy that when I realized, like, I can really do this Division I basketball thing, it was when Grand Canyon first offered me. They were my first offer my sophomore year, or my summer going into sophomore year, they offered me. So that just turned my whole head. That just turned my whole mindset, you know what I mean? And after that, I mean, my junior, senior, I bear down, but it just wasn't enough because my freshman and sophomore year, I, you know, took a couple steps back, and I mean, that's what brought me to the JUCO route.
Okay, so you go to Hutch. I mean, you could have gone here in state, I'm sure, but Hutchinson, there's not a better junior college in the country, and there will be some JUCO guys that will come after me for that statement, JJ, but there's not a better JUCO in the country than going to Hutchinson. And tell me about the decision to go there after leaving Shadow. Why Hutch for your JUCO route?
Because they were the best, one of the best teams in the country, and the conference they were in, it was one of the most competitive conferences in the country. So, you know, as me being a competitive guy, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to play against the best, and I wanted to show everybody coming out of high school that I can play with the best. It doesn't matter on what level. Mm-hmm. And it's just how they recruited me, how Jay Siriac recruited me, Coach Eck recruited me. They were just real from the jump, and they told me I have a shot to be, you know, a really core piece for the team. And that's what happened my freshman and sophomore year, and I succeeded. My freshman year, winning national championship, and we did pretty good. My sophomore year, going to the Sweet 16, and just having a good 2 years overall. It was just the best.
And you got your academics straightened out. I mean, let's be straight with it. Let's be straight with each other on this. It's great that you're humble enough to admit. You know, a lot of guys will say, yeah, it just didn't work out. You're humble enough to admit openly, hey, my freshman, sophomore year of high school, I just didn't get it done. And you went that route, and you got it done academically, too, it sounds like.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All it took is just for a little more focus and a little more determination, and that's what got it done.
So GCU comes on your radar. You go kill it at the community college level. You start to look around what's next. When did Dan and company come on your radar, Dan Marley?
Coach Dan, Coach Benson, they came on my radar soon as I signed the papers to go to Hutch. So
That's good.
Yeah, it was good. They were on it. Mm-hmm. They were on it from the jump. So, I mean, I knew. In so many ways, I knew what I was going to do after junior college. I knew I was going to come to Grand Canyon. It's just because of the loyalty. You know, TJ has been recruiting me since my freshman year in high school, and he's always been persistent. So you don't know too many schools and coaches who would do that for a kid unless they really, really see something in them and see that they can make a big effect on their program. And that's what it was all about with me, was loyalty. And being in the right position, and I feel like this was the right position.
Talk to the Lopes, J.J. Rimes with us, Grand Canyon University, getting a big-time 6'5 guard to come on in and play alongside the team as they continue to grow by leaps and bounds. GCU, you make the decision to come here. Tell me about the roster. As you look up and down this roster, you know, last year we were in Las Vegas when they won their first ever game in the WAC tournament. It came down to New Mexico State again. From a recruiting standpoint, the Aggies were part of your discussion, it looked like, sounded like. What do you see on this roster that you're walking into?
I see a lot of talent through one to however guys we got, 11, 12. I feel like we're all talented, especially coming off the bench. Whoever's coming off the bench is going to be a problem. So whatever five goes in, starts, and whatever five comes in to play off the bench is going to be a problem. It's going to put pressure on our opponents every single night, day in, day out. So that's what I'm excited about. We have a lot of talent, and I just can't wait to put it all together in August when we get everybody.
The academic side, what are you going to major in? Do you know as of yet at GCU? Let's talk further about academics.
Yes, I'm majoring in communications.
And your plans with it? Do you have plans yet?
You said what?
Do you have plans?
No, I don't have plans with it yet. Mm-hmm. But I know that's what I'm a major in, and then when I get my degree in that, I'm just going to go forward with that. and see what I can do with that.
Play basketball and take my job one day. I got you. I understand. I understand how it goes.
The written plan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's always good. The family name rhymes, and just your circle of people from that name that that helped you through this process to get to where you are now. Tell me about that and growing up with that.
You know, growing up with that name on my back was always pressure. You know what I mean? But I mean, it's a lot of us. It's a lot of us who, you know, who killed it in high school out here. You know, at Carl Hayden, you know, Camelback, places like that, St. Mary's. But I just feel like it's just an honor, you know, having that name on my back out here in Phoenix, Arizona. Everybody knowing that I'm a Rhymes, and you know, I'm doing it on this level now. You know, it hasn't been a lot of us who did it on the Division I level, especially out here in their hometown. So I feel like that's a big deal to me, and that's just putting a better name on our backs.
How many Rhymes are there that have played?
That played. I can't even.
That's
so many that played. So many.
When I heard you were coming on this week, it's like, you know, I should probably go just sit down for an hour and just go research everybody who's tied to the name Rhymes, coach, played, and all that stuff, or who's coming along, the Rhymes that are coming that I may not even know about. You know, that's
It's a lot of us coming along. Yeah. I have a younger cousin named Isaiah, and he's at Nevada. So Isaiah Rhymes, he's at Nevada. So that's going to be a biggie when we play them.
Yeah,
out here, right? Yeah. We play them out here. So
I think you do. Yeah, you're going to dig into them, huh?
Yeah, that just tells you a little about where we are at.
Yeah, you play them. You play them December 9th. That's right. That's the game at Talking Stick.
So. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So what you're telling me right now is you're laying down the gauntlet. You're being Thor. You're laying it down, saying this is happening. I'm taking on my cousin.
Yes, sir.
That'll be fun. Hey, I appreciate the visit, and good luck to you. It's a great story, and look forward to seeing you there over with Coach Marley this season. Thanks, JJ.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Have a good day there. There's JJ Rhymes. Talk to the Lopes. Every week, Grand Canyon University, all sports. It doesn't matter if it's coach, players, things are going on around GCU. Thanks for being with us.